Hello, and welcome to My Marvelous Year. I'm Dave. Oh, wait, that's not how we start.
Yeah, what the...
Okay.
I'm not responding to that.
The year is 1997. I'm Dave.
That's not it either. 1997? You out of your mind? Oh, I get it. All right. Sorry.
You have to leave all of this in. You have to leave all of your minute-long attempt to understand.
I forgot about it. I forgot.
Ho-ho, I am Animated Charlotte.
And welcome to My Marvelous Year.
Variant cover.
Hello, and welcome to My Marvelous Year. I'm Dave Reese, founder and editor-in-chief of comicbookherald.com. If I was an animated character, I would talk a little bit like this, and I would say, oh, Charles Xavier, you're the only friend I ever had.
I'll just be Moira McTaggart.
Joined today by my good friend and co-host.
I want everyone to know that I fully spilled a whole drink of water while I was doing my French accent.
Oh, that's perfect. That's even better. That's exactly... Were you making beignets, though, at the same time? Zach Dean is here with us. Zach, how's it going? Zach, as the oldest of us and the most nostalgic for the 90s, how good of a week did you have?
I did watch a lot of 90s wrestling, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I watched the WrestleMania 12 1 hour Iron Man match between Shawn Michaels and Bret the Hitman Hart, 1 hour long, and it was excellent. So yeah,
I saw it, Zach. 90s week, yeah. I have a quick wrestling. So I saw a clip somebody
People
shared.
People hate
this. Yeah, I know. A clip somebody shared that The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels was all time maybe the best wrestling match ever. Do you know the one? Have you made it that far? Maybe it's later.
No.
Okay. Okay, maybe that's it. It was reminiscent of the cool one you shared with me. Who was the one you shared with me?
Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita.
Yeah.
I think the one you're talking about is WrestleMania 26, which is 14 years after where I am, meaning I will get there. I'm making roughly, yeah. I think I've been watching wrestling about 1 year. I got into it March of last year, and I've made it through about 7 months of 90s wrestling. So.
All right, not so you got some good stuff to come.
Anyway, let's not talk wrestling.
Speaking of good stuff to come, and in continuing with this X-Men 97 week theme, if you haven't picked up on it yet, the famous fighting French woman on the other end of the line, you heard her do the best animated voice anyone has ever done on this podcast. It's Charlotte Fierro. Charlotte, how much do you love Gambit? How much?
I mean... Mon ami, he's great. I love his funky little outfits in this in the new episodes. He's like
his outfit and
bright
hair
pink crop top.
So good, yeah,
perfect, absolutely perfect.
Okay, so today on My Marvelous Year, this is a variant cover for 2006. We will be back with what's next on that everybody's going to hear. Is it Annihilation? Okay, so Annihilation Pod's
coming next.
A good,
friendly episode where we all just got along and definitely...
Listen, I don't want to overhype it, but it's one of our biggest episodes in several years in terms of disputes.
Fightiest,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really... We got into it. Know, even Invincible didn't quite get to as quite as...
I suspect the experience of listening to Invincible is like... Yeah. Is mostly just a little sad.
Yeah, okay.
Where Annihilation has some anger, has some fight to it.
It's fun. I think it's, you know, I think there's a big difference between that and our actual heated episodes of, you know, the 80s. So,
yeah, but I did feel bad for, like, the rest of the day.
Oh. Well, you did kind of yell at Charlotte, so.
Well, no, specifically about that, because my anger at Zach... calling it something boiled over, and then I lost it when Charlotte was talking. And Charlotte, I feel badly about that. I'm sorry. My temper
that
exploded
is okay.
At that particular time. I think if you saw me in the room, you know, you'd realize it was just was just a man being a little too passionate about his comics.
I know that this variant is the Annihilation Aftercare.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the episode hasn't even come out yet. But no, today we're going to talk about X-Men 97. And it's out on Disney Plus. The first two episodes came out. I think I had a couple other topics. Maybe we'll get to them. Maybe we won't. I had a tough time with X-Men. So here's the thing.
Did Charlotte watch it too? I want to know.
Did you all watch
it? Yeah, I did. Yeah, for sure.
Would you have watched it if we weren't talking about it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think just because it's outside of the MCU, I was more excited about it than I've been for Marvel stuff for a while. Just because, it feels fresher. I mean, fresher. It's, like, literally older than the MCU by a decade. But, like, it feels different, right? I was excited.
Now, Zach, you don't have X-Men 90s nostalgia, right?
I think the most I've ever watched it was Charlotte and I covering it for like a variant once.
Yeah, yes, you're not. Yeah.
We watched a couple episodes.
You're not super into it. Would you have watched it otherwise?
I didn't watch it. I didn't know that was the assignment, and I wouldn't have watched it anyway, even if you.
So when I said X-Men 97 for this week's variant,
you just threw that out 3 days ago, 3 mornings ago,
3 days ago for a half hour cartoon.
Yeah, but it's like a whole series, right? I'm not gonna.
No, it's two episodes.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I also don't even
you
have Disney Plus.
Unbelievable, mister. You are unbelievable.
I honestly thought, Dave, you sent this whole list of conversation topics, and I was like, wow, it's a bunch of stuff that Dave's into right now.
Clearly.
We're talking Dave stuff. It didn't occur to me that you were like, being like, we'll all watch it and tell me. I thought you were just like, I've been watching X-Men 97. I got thoughts.
You were like, Dave, we'll talk at me about X-Men 97.
Sure. And, well, I mean, talk at the audience.
And that's fine. Yeah.
I was surprised I went on Metacritic and it looks like it's getting good reviews.
People seem to love it. The general reaction seems to be incredibly positive, I would say. Have either of you had a different experience? I've seen overwhelming love, I think.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah. I was surprised how like well-liked it seemed to be. I was expecting a higher share of the they made all X-Men gay kind of thing, and No, it seemed like everyone's enjoying it on all fronts, which is
I want to talk about that a little bit, Charlotte. Let's get right into the drama and the culture war of it all. Okay, you know what I keep seeing that bugs me, and it's not, hang on, let me get the soapbox. Okay, got it right in front of the mic here. Zach, can you get down in front of the stage and get your notepad out like a little reporter? I'm going to give an
interview. Sorry, I was already on the soap. I'm always up here.
Can you get down off the soapbox? You're hogging it all the time. Okay, you know what bugs me? Listen, yes, I'm bothered by the bigotry and the grifting.
Bold take.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, bigotry? I'm anti-bigotry. I'm gonna put it on record.
Wow. Okay. Wow, Dave. Wow.
I'm bothered by that. I'm bothered by the culture war grifters who trade in hate, okay, and who come out here and say, X-Men are woke now, right? And they're just a bunch of idiots trading in hate and, you know, succeeding because YouTube's algorithm has made that the predominant way to get views on comic book culture, which is annoying and a different issue of itself. But what actually bothers me in this particular moment, as something that seems solvable to my little mind, is one little person, not a big audience, not necessarily a personality, hardly even, will have like a horrible take on Twitter, right? Will be like, X-Men 97 is woke, they made Gambit gay, you know, it's whatever the grift word of the day is, okay? But then, like, the entirety of otherwise, I would say, like, decent and just, like, thoughtful comic book fans is, like, we all need to comment on this. We all, like, one of us found this weirdo's comment. Yeah, and now all of us need Twitter, to jump in and dogpile and comment. And it's, like, no one was thinking about this comment. No one was interested in this. It was not a broader... And now it seems like it's like a two-sided conversation. I know this isn't new. I know this isn't news, right? This has happened for decades now. But it's just like... It's happening so... It happened with Peach Momoko. There was one weirdo who was like, I think Peach Momoko stinks. And then everyone took that as like, this is the conversation today, is a referendum on the quality of the clearly very good and artistically fascinating Peach Momoko's art, right? And it keeps giving the semblance of conversation to things that are just like one weirdo's tweet. It's driving me insane. I don't know. It's just something about, and anytime I catch myself now, like seeing that and being like, I should say something. If I say something, I delete it immediately. Because I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Anyway, all right, moving the soapbox.
Well, I mean, it's just, the point is, you could always find somebody with a take like that, right? Like, it's not like they don't have to get dragged up to become the discourse. At any point, you can find a very stupid opinion, a very hateful opinion. What, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Just because one goes viral doesn't mean, like, you're like, oh, I got to jump it. And then it is also worth remembering that, like, at least half the time that you get really infuriated or exasperated over something really stupid on Twitter, that person is under 20 years old.
sure. Yeah.
You know, and they are just getting projected out. Like, yeah. Getting mad at teenagers.
Anyway. And like, I'm not defending.
We're defending like the hateful takes. Yeah. Everyone has the right to their own opinions.
I'm not even going that route. It's just like, I know. It's just like, if you're, you don't have to like make that your mission to like squat. There are so many people.
Well, you do if you want to be popular on Twitter, right? I mean, that is that's the point. It's not.
I hate like that part of the
people,
game.
Yeah. People then naturally come, you know, upon this behavior. It becomes, you know, you get trained to do it, right? By the feedback that you get.
Yeah. So less broad. Charlotte, did you think these first two episodes of X-Men, the animated series, X-Men 97, were actually more, I don't know about insightful, were actually more cutting, were actually more focused on issues of diversity and human hatred towards mutant and the mutant metaphor? Did you think they were actually, because I think there was kind of a reaction of like, yeah, it's nostalgia, and yeah, some of it's just cool X-Men action, but also like, we got the Friends of Humanity here, like it's actually pretty focused on the mutant metaphor. Did you think that was actually better or stood out to you?
I think it was more obvious from what it's been. When did you watch these episodes for the show? Like 2 years ago, maybe, Zach?
Sure. Yeah, it's been a bit.
Been a little bit. But I do think they were less obvious as to discussing like real social issues. Magneto's speech at the UN and like Storm losing her. Can I spoil? I'm fully spoiling.
Spoilers for X-Men 97 will follow.
Without any warning.
Can I ask a question before you go too deep on this? Because a lot of listeners are in the same place I am. Is this for kids? Is this like
a story? Well, that's a second question, Zach. Let's tackle that next.
Okay, well, because I mean, that does, you know, I think like it's one of the big reasons I didn't check it out, because I don't. This is not meant to be any critique, but like, if it is just a straight kids show,
I mean, the answer is no.
I saw someone in our Slack say like, it's a kids show aimed for kids 30 to 45.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay.
I mean that, and I think it is aimed at teenagers. I don't think it's aimed at I don't think it's aimed at kids as young as the original series was, but I think it's like pretty much meant for a, I don't know, 12, 13-year-old audience, like, beginning.
Okay, I just wanted to check in, because, like, people's, people's care about if you're spoiling it may vary on if they're like, oh, I don't care if you spoil a children's show.
I would say the first episode feels like a pilot. It doesn't feel like new episode of the next season of the animated series. Like, it is made to be watched by a new public, right? Mm. Right, a new audience,
which is a good approach.
Yeah, in a way of like, not really the same thing, but like in the same way you could start Avatar by watching the Legion of Korra, right? And you'd basically understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something similar there, even though there's not that much time between the two series.
Okay, Charlotte, I don't want to. I promise I'm not making fun of your accent, but it sounded like you said the Legion of Korra, and I would watch the hell out of that show. Hell yeah. I just want to be clear that sounds like a great idea.
It's a team up between David Haller and Kara from
Oh, from man. Let's do it. They own all the licenses. Yeah. Why not?
Oh, no, isn't there... Didn't Al Ewing introduce a character that's called Kara in X-Men Red?
Yeah, one of the Iraqi mutants. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good good title for the new X-Men series.
Al, that one's on us.
That's a whole other thing. What was I saying? Yeah, it is. I think it's very much made for a new audience, not just like a nostalgia fest for 90s fans. Which, like, I wasn't, right? Like, I didn't watch this in the 90s because they didn't exist. like, the X-Men show going on when I was a kid would have been X-Men Evolution, which I did watch a few episodes of when I was a kid.
Are you an Evolution is better than the 90s series truther?
I'm a Evolution is just as okay as the 90s animated series truther.
Okay. There's a camp, like a very vocal camp. Of Evolution's actually the best.
Yeah, I have a friend who's like that. She's just a huge fan of Evolution and just doesn't care for the 90s animated series, which is like generational. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say grew up on. You were watching as a kid.
So well, the question, I don't have particular nostalgia for the 90s animated series. Like, my enjoyment of these episodes is, and from X-Men fandom generally for sure, but also just I think it's good, and I think it's not particularly aimed at a nostalgia bait audience.
See, now that is incredibly encouraging to me, Charlotte, because my biggest hang up and the biggest problem I had was the nostalgia of it all. I couldn't really shake the reaction and the feeling to me of, like, I don't love being a mid-30s dad having my childhood remarketed to me as the next big thing on Disney. Like, it makes me feel like a loser, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think overpraising that as, like, some sort of, like, miracle of entertainment. Like, I would prefer something new, I guess, is just kind of, like, strategically and creatively. I would much rather it was, like, here's the new X-Men animated series for a next generation of kids to enjoy. And I think, you know, it taps into a little, like, definitely my perspective a bit is I'm of an age now where this is a thing I want to share with my kids. And to Zach's question, is it for kids? It's definitely not for my younger kids.
Yeah, for sure.
My oldest is under 8. They are completely disinterested. They are.
Yeah, it's for kids that are like fans of the MCU, right? That are old enough for that.
And that was a lot more
than anything else.
Yeah, and I shared it, you know, on social, and a lot of people were like, "Yeah, I'm sharing this with my 13-year-old. I'm sharing this with my 15-year-old. That sounds awesome. Like that's something I did in the early 2000s with my dad with like Justice League Unlimited and stuff, right? That sounds like a really fun way to connect, I think, through entertainment. So I do not hold that against anyone. That sounds thrilling. It's definitely not for a younger audience, and it doesn't have to be necessarily. But I think what's weird is, like, the original series was, you know, like that was great to me as a kid.
Yeah.
And now I'm an adult, and they're just like, here's more of the thing you liked as a kid, and I'm like, well, no, my tastes have changed, you know. So I was trying not to be too bitter old man because I think the two episodes are like pretty solid. I think they do a nice job. I like Magneto in this a ton. I like Storm in this a ton. Cyclops finally looks cool. That's great. Some of the action, like the fan in me too.
Finally.
The fan in me was like, you know what's awesome? Cyclops falling out of a plane and stopping himself with his optic blasts. That is just fan thrill 1,000%. I loved it. You know what's awesome? Gambit riding on Lil Wolverine's back, supercharging his claws, launching him off of Morph, who transformed into Blob, and blowing up a Sentinel? Come on!
Morph transforming into, like, Archangel and Blob and plenty other people is, like, pure pleasure. And, like, so fun. It's just
it makes
Morph comics fun.
Or them, I think. Do they use they-them pronouns? I don't know if that's confirmed.
I think so.
There was the pre-they're non-binary conversation around this, I realized. But yeah, no, Morph had the biggest glow up of anyone, because there was a moment in the Trial of Magneto stuff where Lady Deathstrike shows up, and I'm like, oh, we're going here? Like, we're going, the villains are here, you know, this could be fascinating. But then it's like, oh no, it's just Morph can do anything now. Which is kind of fascinating in itself. But yeah, so there's a pure pleasure, just like fandom kick element to this. I just can't shake the hang up that I don't know. I don't like having my nostalgia like so deliberately and callously remarketed to me.
Yeah. I would say I'm definitely more excited, and I was more excited about the Spider-Man show that they're doing that is like fully a new thing.
Yeah.
Like it's not a Tom Holland Spider-Man origin or something. It's like a whole new universe, new Spider-Man animated show. That's super exciting to me. And like, I like this insanely more than any What If episode, right? Like, episode of What If is far inferior to this. For sure. No doubt about it.
But I would also say X-Men 97 is dramatically inferior to Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah, that's fair.
A new animated series that has its own vision, that had its own purpose, and launched something new. That to me is just endlessly more interesting. And as a dad, is like, I can share that with my kids. And listen, the Moon Girl and Devil Dino soundtrack was one of our most listened to albums last year. Like it is a, whereas this is just like, oh, dad's singing the X-Men song again. I guess we got to deal with that.
Yeah. Can I jump in? Cause that,
please.
That kind of explains exactly like my taste in this stuff and why I'm not interested in the X-Men 97 series is I'll watch a show that's marketed straight for kids, right? If I don't feel like it's also just actually trying to like hit millennials, like that kind of that feeling I got about this show where it's like actually for millennials is what made me be like, not interested. But like, I'll watch Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur at some point, right? That's a turnoff to me, the idea that like this is actually for adults, but it's going to be like a kid show, but it's aimed 35-year-olds, but like it still has the limitations of a children's show.
You know, the problem with what you're saying is you're describing exactly what audience Marvel comics are aimed at, right?
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
watching the '90s animated, the new X-Men '97 animated series is like the same feeling as reading the new X-Men or Spider-Man or Iron Man comic that came out this week, right? It's like, but these are characters for kids and stuff for kids, but it's also very much aimed at millennials and above. So
I mean, I'll say those are actually, I mean, because those are, you know, light PG-13 at least, right? They're not aimed for 8-year-olds.
The comics?
Yeah, the comics. The comics are not like really made for like 8 or 10-year-olds.
Oh, they're unquestionably not for like kids. Yeah, I mean,
for like little kids anymore.
See, but I think even the teen audience is less and less. I mean, I think Charles' point is it's more. It's increasingly more the audience who grew up on comics who now.
That is like a cultural shift as well, right? Like teens into comics as that. Like, I don't think.
Well, it's not that kids aren't into comics; it's that the kids aren't into Marvel comics and superheroes.
Sure, right, yeah, but I don't know if that's because like Marvel and DC. Yeah, I'm sure they do. We don't need to get into all of that. Anyway, like
it's a bigger
thing. Kid show.
Well, it's an interesting.
I'm not above watching like a kid show. Is my point? Like,
sure.
But then this kind of a. It's a kid show, but actually, it's made exactly for me. Weirdly,
like if they remade like the G.I. Joe cartoon or something that was not my childhood,
sure.
I would have 0% interest in watching that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like this one is weird because it's like that's me. You know what I mean? Like I'm that X-Men kid, 100%. Like I'm in. But then I just kind of like creatively reject being the focus. But it is interesting to hear Charlotte say like I actually didn't like you didn't feel that. Like over reliance on nostalgia,
no,
and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, it's there, right? There is like Easter eggs and stuff, and like references to the original series, but it's not reliance on that. I don't think like I liked plenty of stuff in the show that don't have to do with that. I just like the story that's being told and the way the characters are being characterized.
So
I don't think. I don't think it's just that, but I think there is like some nostalgia to it for sure. I mean, it is called X-Men 97, right? Like a year that was 27 years ago is literally in the title. So there's going to be some of that in there.
Also, hilariously, my least favorite year of Marvel Comics, which I mentioned many, many times, but like the actual worst year of Marvel. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about the positive then. One of the huge positives is this gets people so focused on X-Men. And, like, it's kind of amazing. Like, House of X and Powers of Ten had this experience, too, where it's, like, you realize how many people are X-Men fans in a way that I don't think. Like Bron James tweeted about this. Like, like to me, that's, yeah. like, this is, oh, this is the biggest thing in the world. You know what I mean? And you every so often, you kind of have that feeling and that reawakening of, like, oh, if they do an X-Men movie, it's going to be the absolute biggest thing in the world. And if it's, like, even kind of solid, like, it is going to reignite fandom in ways, that, like, just in sheer numbers that I always underrate, I think. Which is kind of cool to see. Like, it's cool to see how many people love this stuff and just want it to be good. What worries me, tying into what I was saying just a minute ago, so there's, like, the personal sort of just, like, my own personal hangups. But then my worry is defining X-Men as an old brand worries me. Defining X-Men as, hey, remember when this was great, you know, and that leaning into the 90s, it's what worries me about the next direction of the comics. It worries me about launching with X-Men 97. I don't like the idea of X-Men as a thing rooted in Claremont 90s stuff, because so much, all the most interesting, best stuff has happened when people are like, let's move beyond that. You know what I mean? So that worries me when we're kind
that,
of...
That was going to be my question. Do you think the show is going to... Because something that was, like, so interesting about that original series is it's like they're adapting stuff that was happening 9 months before production, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They are reactive to what's happening, like, right in away, the 90s. Yeah. Yeah, and it was like a weird melding of, like, the 90s stories with, like, the biggest Claremont and, like, Silver Age stuff. But, like, you know, Cable was, like, brand new and he was being, like, pulled into the sure. X-Men show. Does it seem like they're going to go that direction at all, or are they going to stick with, like, the classic 90s X-Men
stuff? They're going classic. Charlotte, do you want to do the here's what they're adapting thing?
Ooh. I genuinely did wonder if they were going to do Krakoa. I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to be very Claremont. It's going to be Maddie Pryor. It's going to be Mr. Sinister. It's going to be that stuff, I expect. I'm not expecting anything like New X-Men or Krakoa or anything like beyond. Maybe Decimation would be like really huge, maybe. I don't expect anything further than that.
Dave left.
And Dave left.
Yeah, he didn't actually want to hear your answer.
Yeah, apparently. I guess so.
Yeah, it's kind of rude.
There we go. I lost you right when I said, Charlotte, do you want to talk about the storylines they're adapting?
Yeah, and I answered. No, so, I said
I now very just well.
Now just agree with her, Dave.
Yeah, no, I'll say I just said that I don't expect them to adapt anything beyond the 90s. I expect it to be very Claremont in 90s. Probably a lot of Madeline Pryor, Sinister, Mr. Sinister stuff.
Yeah.
And like maybe Decimation could be, but I don't expect New X-Men or Krakoa.
What makes you think Decimation?
It is weirdly huge in fandom, right? Like No More Mutants and that kind of stuff is like
yeah.
a pretty big reference for like people talking about X-Men. Now it's a thing like a lot of people expect to be adapted in some way in the MCU. Like when people were making like crazy stupid theories about how the X-Men could come into the MCU, like No More Mutants and like Decimation, but like inverted was a big thing. Like I think it's a thing that a lot of people expect in X-Men stories.
Hmm.
So I could see something like that. And I think it's like the immediately post X-Men stuff that feels easier to adapt than New X-Men. Like Decimation feels more of a piece with Claremont in 90s than New X-Men, right? New X-Men is bit beyond that, although I don't know, I could see the Genosha stuff from New X-Men being adapted.
I could definitely see the Genosha Cassandra Nova stuff, especially
I don't
with
know
Fury.
About Cassandra Nova though.
Oh no,
yeah,
maybe you don't see, you don't see the silent episode of Professor X and Cassandra fighting in the womb.
I mean that'd be hell fun on but the I psychic plane. Don't know, yeah,
yeah, no, it I mean they're definitely looking back, right? They're going, what's the canonized Claremont, what's the canonized X-Men stuff that we haven't done already? So it's clearly teasing Inferno, Life Death, just did the Trial of Magneto, which is Uncanny 200, John Romita Jr. era. And they're also teasing Executioner's Song, right, with the baby Cable stuff.
I expect maybe a New Mutants thing with Roberto and maybe some other kids.
Yeah.
Like New Mutants / Generation X, because bit melding the two together.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how much New Mutants they... Because you got Bobby in the picture. Cannonball technically was in the last season of the old series. I'd like to see them go New Mutants a little bit. I think that would help. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's looking back. I mean, I think if they get to any New Mutant stuff, they get to any Decimation, you know, my expectation is that's two, maybe three seasons down the road if and when the interest starts waning.
Do you expect
maybe they'll
this
jump?
To go several seasons? I'm genuinely...
That's the thing.
Genuinely don't know.
I don't know how long you can sustain. I don't know. That's the thing about like it not being... The fact that it's not new makes me wonder, is it a short-term, hell yeah, it's back, and then like everybody kind of fades quicker, as opposed to something that could generate like, oh, this is awesome. You should check out this new show. I do wonder about that. I mean, two, three seasons seems like kind of the peak, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it's, and I guess too, like if you're looking at the canonized stuff that, you know, so, okay, they do Inferno here, you know, they do a little Executioner Song. Like, what do they look at that 90s landscape and be like, and tell me like, what do you have left? You could do Age of Apocalypse.
Onslaught.
You could do Onslaught. Honestly, I could see them even doing some of the late 90s stuff that we don't like, the Operation Zero Tolerance, Bastion stuff. Although, I feel like they kind of touch on that stuff. You know, you could do Magneto, Ruler of Genosha. You know, there's ideas there that you could build off of. I guess part of, you know, I don't know, I feel like I had a fine time watching these. I mean, truly. Like, it's,
well, look,
it's short. It's
sorry,
sweet,
you're talking around it intentionally to aggravate me. But clearly, they're just going to do an entire season pivot to the John Byrne Alpha Flight run. We all know it. It's out there. Yeah. You just don't want to admit it because, you know, you don't want to give me the satisfaction.
I'll tell you what, Zach, an episode where it was like the intro was changed and they played O Canada as the theme and it was the Alpha Flight gang running towards their villains. I would love that. That'd be so fun.
You know what? They should do at the same time the Silent issue of New X-Men and the Snowblind issue of Alpha Flight. So it's just white screen without noise for a whole
just
episode.
White. Oh, that'd be incredible. That would be incredible.
That
I'd love
be
it.
So sick. Charlotte, didn't we watch the episode of at the Alpha Flight episode from the 90s? The actual
they show up.
Yeah. I don't remember that, no.
Yeah, it was really good. It was probably the best one we watched.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
Okay, so no, but what I was going to get at is, I guess I'm no longer in a place where I'm the Leo DiCaprio meme pointing at the TV. Like, excited, like, oh, they're doing Inferno. Oh, they're doing Life Death. Like, I've read those. I enjoyed reading those. Watching them recreated is not super fun for me, right, having already experienced them. I do like the idea of the way the 90s series might have pushed some people to be like, I want to explore more. This can do that, you know, and be like, here are these other X-Men stories, raise some awareness around them. It drives me insane that these episodes don't end with a plug for Marvel Unlimited and go read Uncanny X-Men number 200, you know, the comic we just copied. I just think like when you're transcribing the comics work so deliberately, like just end with a plug. Like
and
how hard would that
so
be?
So easy too, right? It, like,
yeah, that's just so natural.
It's insanely easy to do.
It's not a reach. Like it's your own, like you own it. I don't get it. I don't get why we're not driving comics readership out of something like this. That bugs me.
Last question about this. Do you think there's any possibility of like wider Marvel, like Avengers, Spider-Man stuff in this? And even beyond that, any chance that this is actually kind of an MCU thing, like with the multiverse and stuff, and that's going to, like, stuff from these series will be playing into the MCU? Or like, are they fully isolating it and we should be like, I know, surprising for them at this point, but also I don't personally really want this to be mixed into the MCU, so yeah.
I could see a season 2 Spidey cameo by way of announcing Spider-Man 97. Like, if this does well enough, you know, I could see them greenlighting, let's do all of them. I could see that. Although with the existing new Spidey one, it's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't feel super likely, but I could see it. Second part of the question, in no world do I want this to be a part of the MCU.
Yeah.
Everything they've said so far indicates it's not. Certainly you can have that, you know, with the multiverse, you can always reference anything, right? But I mean, beyond like a cameo, there's no way this should be a part of the MCU. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, same opinion. I don't see in what, like, probably there'll be a cameo or something in Secret Wars, but like as an actual plot point, I don't need nor want this to be. Like, I really don't want this to be the X-Men of the MCU. Like, I want this to be I want the X-Men in the MCU to be a new thing. So yeah, no, don't want that. Thank you.
My hope would be this kind of allows everyone involved, like Kevin Feige, to scratch that like old school itch. You know what I mean? And be like, all right, we're doing it here. This is for the fans who just want the same thing regurgitated back into their mouths. And we'll do something new with the actual MCU, right? Yeah. And we'll kind of craft like a vision that is a little bit different. That'd be my hope. But yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I'm coming across negative. I feel a little, Zach, you always say like how insane you feel when you have a weird opinion.
Uh-huh. A good opinion, but yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely how I feel with X-Men 97, where I'm like, listen, I had a fine time, but this sort of perfect curating for this thing that is so old fashioned and just kind of recreating X-Men comics that we know are better. I don't know. I can't like put my full weight behind it, you know? Yeah. The version of it that I could would be like, you know, like Wolverine and the X-Men animated series when it launched was like, oh, this is really interesting. They're doing something different. It's not the fact that it's like animated X-Men. Like, I'm more than willing. I don't know. We've seen plenty of this, like just within the last year. Like, most of my favorite superhero stuff has been animated. Spider-Verse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, you know, which probably skew older. It's not like those aren't trading in elements of nostalgia too, right?
I feel like TMNT actually skewed younger. I feel like TMNT was the actual fully kids one to me.
You think so? See, I would call it more of an all ages target.
Yeah, a little all ages, but I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely an aspect of that that's shooting for like teens. Like,
well, it can definitely be a new Turtles fan. Like, that's their Turtles now.
Sure. Right? I mean, I don't think, I think there's, if you are annoying a decent amount of the the like 40 and up contingent with the changes that you're making, like a lot of people walked away from that being like, they're just annoying kids now, right? Like. I think, you know, then
you've done something right in terms of actually creating something new for
sure
or updating.
I mean, it's a balance. Just because you do something different doesn't mean it's good looking at, you know, the new Fantastic Four movie. But I think that movie.
Farron Shaw's at Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I know. Hot take. Did not like the the Cyber Doom version.
The 2015 version.
The new from 10 years ago?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Brett. Well, the one that got announced, the one that's coming in like the next year.
Well, that doesn't exist yet. How would I be taking shots at?
Yeah, that's why we were surprised.
That's why I thought it was weird. They released the promo for it.
Yeah. Mm.
Promo? I just saw the casting.
Oh, boy.
Let me just watch this live and do some live.
Get with the times. Did you know it's going to be set in the 60s, or that's everybody's expectation? Are you with us enough on that front?
No, I didn't. I missed that entirely. Really?
I love non-social media, Zach. This is great. I could tell you anything.
Wait, really? I totally missed this. I do kind of rely on the Slack, but we also do have an MCU channel in the Slack that I am not in.
Yeah. I mean, they did announce that Alpha Flight is going to be the villains of that movie, right?
Phase 6 villains.
You good?
No.
Yeah.
You good, Zach?
I will watch this later.
A lot of water being spilled this episode. A lot of water being thrown down on the table. Okay, the final thing about where we were going with that, with X-Men 97. Charlotte, it sounds like you're probably the most into it.
By default, favorite? By Zach not having seen it.
Yeah. But like, what were your favorite things? Like, what were you like, I'm most excited to see this going forward?
I think the characterization of like, Storm, Magneto, Cyclops, like, I think... In the 90s animated series, like from my point of view of watching that 20 years after the fact, a lot of those characters felt a bit rigid and like stereotypical.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
That's
a word.
Stereotypical.
And I think they feel more fully fledged and like textured here. Like, I really like this version of Magneto. And Storm, like, I think Storm was really, really good in this and, like, actually had the spotlight, which I don't think she had too often in the animated show, and she had never in the Fox movies. So, like, I'm excited for Storm being, like, a protagonist in this. I like the new twink design for Morph. They're less of a little goblin now, which I like. And yeah, I'm like, I do like that it seems like all the characters are gonna get their share of the screen time and are actually, like, none of them feel like fully sidekicks or afterthoughts. Like, I'm curious, like, I think there is room with those first two episodes for, like, interesting storylines for all the characters, which I always like in an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And, yeah, particularly Storm and Magneto, I'm like, really excited for where they go with those characters. I those are some of my favorite storylines in X-Men, storylines that focus on these two in the context of what's happening here. And I'm high on Al Ewing writing the two of them in X-Men Red and Resurrection of Magneto. So there's a synergy there as well, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that you're calling out my crankiness on this. I do. I appreciate the youthful positivity you're bringing amidst my inability to feel joy anymore.
No, I appreciate you getting annoyed at it on my behalf for someone who didn't watch it growing up. But yeah, I think it's cool. Yeah, I think it's fun.
Okay. I love that it's only 9 episodes. Love that for it. That's brilliant.
I did just see that they are planning on at least 3 seasons.
Yeah, okay. That feels right. I mean, I think, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard to want more than that until you get going.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, it's, that feels right until you're, you know, glow and you're setting up a great fourth season and you get canceled by Netflix, right? Then I want a fourth season. Okay. I think that does it for X-Men 97 chatter.
Can I announce our contest winners from last variant cover?
What was our contest?
Oh, boy. I did a little contest for, God, now I can't remember the name of it. Give me just a second.
You immediately sassed me for not remembering.
No, I...
Well, you don't, because
Divining Comics, I'm giving away some zines.
Oh, yeah, Divining Comics. I've been reading that since you recommended it. It's a good time.
It's good, right? Yeah. Steven does a good job, and he's got these zines, and I'm going to send all 3 of his zines to our 2 winners. Longtime listener, right from the beginning, all around, my favorite chatter, Moore McGill.
Worms.
Love this guy.
Did Worms get all 3 right?
No, he did not.
Okay.
He got one of them right. And then David A. got 2 out of 3. So there are 2 winners.
Now that's me when I'm in alpha male mode. I call myself David A. Whereas when I'm a little beta, I call myself David B.
Yeah. When David, I'm a little AC. Beta.
A little beta.
when I'm just a little beta fish flitting around the bowl. I called myself Zach B. Anyway, thanks both for playing. And everybody go check out Divining Comics, that Substack. It's great. I'll reach out to those people for their addresses and stuff. So this is all just a ploy to get more McGill's address so that I can show up at his house. Be like, are you really as cool in person as you are online?
Is anyone? Is anyone? All the coolest people are cooler in person than they are online, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's the secret to coolness. Which
you were pretty cool in person, I think. I haven't met Charlotte in person, so
I enjoyed. I'm the coolest. I enjoyed seeing you.
You wouldn't survive my cool.
I suspect that I would not last a single day in France with Charlotte. Like, she'd be like taking me to the French clubs, and like I'd be so tired.
Classic club rat Charlotte.
Just Moulin Rouge every night.
For sure. That I love that that's your, like, your go-to. Moulin Rouge.
Moulin.
Oh, that's
cool. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the actual cabaret.
No, I know. I understand. But the cabaret. Every night. Wild at the cabaret.
That's what you guys expect of friends, isn't it?
Do people get to sing along at cabarets, or is it not that kind of environment?
Not as far as I'm aware of, but yeah. I don't know. I've honestly never been to a cabaret, so
if it was like drinking a lot of French wine and singing along at a burlesque, I think I could vibe with that.
Yeah, hell yeah,
yeah. All right, we might have to make the trip. You know, I was thinking, so I'm going to be covering C2E2 for Popverse this year, and that's at the end of April. And they asked me, they're like, do you have anyone else you want to come with you? So I asked around, but I was like, you know who I want to come with me? I want Zach and Charles.
Zach D. Oh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, okay. but it was also like, but you'd have to fly to Chicago for a weekend in April. And like in no universe is that like fiscally a good idea.
that's a bit much. But
I thought it sounded fun.
Yeah, hell yeah, that does sound fun. Maybe one of these days when I'm rich.
Yeah. Listen, you can back us over at patreon.com/mymarvelousyear. Honestly, that should be our next goal. Zach, forget you walking on stilts. That mm-hmm. dream, the dream is over. Sadly, mm-hmm. right? Little John Lennon. I think the next goal should be, can all three hosts meet in person once?
I think we should meet like at the midway point between where we all live, so like the Atlantic Ocean.
Atlantic. Krakoa Atlantic, maybe?
Yeah.
A little exactly. island out there? That sounds nice.
Namor can host.
What would actually be the most reasonable midway?
Probably like Diego, somewhere on the East Coast, because I feel like someone that's...
Probably San Diego.
His ex-backyard, yeah.
I think like the easiest way to get to the U.S. from France, probably like New York or something. Probably going to be like northern East, like New England, northern East Coast, probably.
I would say New York, or I could be persuaded to do London, because I've never been to London.
That's like, yeah, I can literally go to London in like 3 hours. So yeah, for sure, come to London, please.
Clearly easier for you, yeah.
Yeah, Zach, insanely easier.
Zach, what's your London interest?
AEW is doing their big pay-per-view of the year on August 25th. So, you know, I'll go to London to watch some wrestling.
So you're going
to
be there? And then... You're going to be there anyway?
No, I looked at tickets and they're like many hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. So.
Jeez, really?
No.
Even before you factor in travel?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay. London calling in the bottom.
No, if I was going to go to Europe, it wouldn't be London, I don't think. As cool as it sounds, I'm sure London would be neat. I just, you know, I don't do that much traveling, so I'd have to go somewhere. I'd want to go somewhere very, you know, somewhere where they don't speak English, I guess.
You're meet in Reykjavik, I think.
Somewhere where, yeah.
Let's wreck havoc in Reykjavik.
Oh, boy. That was good.
I'm in.
Thank you.
I'm in. Okay, cool. All right, the rest of the episode is going to be us making travel plans. No, I had one question that I wanted to ask both of you. So Dennis Camp, speaking of 20th Century Men, we were talking about that before the podcast started. Dennis Camp, great author, going to be writing the Ultimates in the Marvel Comics universe. Had a question on social the other day that I thought was a fun one. What are your favorite ever, literally, I can't wait for the next issue comics experiences? Like, what are your all-time favorite, I am obsessed with every time there's a new release of this comic books, right? So Dennis recommended, or for himself, was like the Grant Morrison Batman run, as that was coming out, was just like a deep dive obsession. My first thought was House of X and Powers of 10, you know, very recently, the Hickman, Pepe Larraz, RB Silva, X-Men stuff. I have two other picks in my life that came to mind, but Charlotte, Zach, do y'all have any thoughts, or do you need a minute and I can do one of mine?
I got one. I mean, I really have never engaged with the month to month. I've done it sometimes, but it's never been like long term that I've read a comic month to month as it's coming out. I think I actually did with House of X Powers of 10, maybe, or maybe when it was like halfway through I jumped in, but certainly not like I read more than, you know, six issues of something month to month before kind of being like, oh, I'll just start waiting for trades of this.
Yeah.
But the trades, that is something I've done, and I had that with Fables for sure. That was a comic like I was obsessed with that comic. I loved that comic as it was coming out, and I started reading it in like 2003, 2004. So only the first like one or two trades were out, and that was like for the next, I think I'm looking at the trades now, up until like 2010, that was like when that trade comes out, I'm getting it. I might be rereading everything that came before it in preparation, right? That's probably the closest.
Did you actually go back and like reread, build to the next trade, and then like repeat that cycle like a few times?
Often, yeah. Not every time, I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, especially when, because, you know, I was like 19, 18, 19 when I first started doing that. So yeah, I was definitely like rereading stuff
It's funny. Yeah, you've talked about that before, so I'm not surprised to hear that as your answer. It's funny you mentioned Fables because I went through this last week, my best comics of all time list, and I highlighted all the books within my top 500 where I realized I've never finished them. Because I was having this experience with Sex Criminals recently, mm-hmm. where they just released the complete collection.
Gross.
Spelled grossly. Yeah. And I went to my long boxes, which I took a picture of, and somebody's like, oh, cool, what shop are you at? I'm like, this is my closet.
Roasted. You know,
made me feel pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So I pulled out all my Sex Crims issues, and I realized I had never...
Sex Crim?
I had never read past issue 7 of...
Okay, well, that's absurd, because you've gotten on me for being kind of like, that comic's all right. But it's because I've read well past that first arc. That first arc's very good, and then you're uh-huh. kind of like, you found a reason to, like... Did you find a reason to keep this
and
going
the
past,
reason
you know,
is the, first, you.
The first trade? That's like one of the biggest
is
issues.
You.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. You just referenced Hoobastank. I'm not just going to not sing.
I did reference him. You're right. I'm sorry. I was referencing Hoobastank. That comic has the issue of, like, you know, did it need to keep going? Like, from the start, like, one trade in. So that's really funny. You've only read the very big. I mean, I get, like, not having read... You know, I mean, even Fables, like, it's 150 issues. If you had read up to 75, I'd be like, yeah, you read Fables. Like, the rest of it's really, there's a lot of good stuff.
And that's pretty much exactly what I did with Fables. Yeah, so, like, it's on my list of, like, ones I highlighted where I was like, wow, I never came especially close to finishing that. Although I did read a lot of Fables.
Yeah.
Whereas with Sex Crims, I'm like, I read, like, stop it. I read like 10% of this.
You read like 40 minutes of Sex Criminals.
Yeah. So I'm, like, this is catching up. I'm catching up.
Yeah, he can't do more than 40 minutes of Sex Criminals at a time. It's too much.
Well, it definitely is.
He's to talk to his doctor if he's reading more than 40 minutes. You have it so high. I mean, I know you have it. It's
perpetually locked in at position 69 on the list.
I know, but that's really like, high for that comic. It's not that good.
Well, like, I'll tell Sex Criminals. Like, I will actually. Yeah. I do disagree. Charlotte, have you ever read Sex Criminals?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I'd be curious about your thoughts on Sex Crims. I feel good about it being at position 69, Zach, actually, now that I'm catching up.
That's crazy. You have it above Will Eisner's Contract with God.
Okay.
You have it above House of X and Powers of 10. There's no world.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's a much funnier comic than House of X. It's not.
Yeah, that's one of my problems. I don't think
the jokes in House of X are not very good, Zach. And that I consider.
Oh,
I think your problem,
is
Dave, is that you need to find another funny sex number to put it at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than 69.
That is a problem.
It's like a 3-digit sex number that we can...
Well, like 269 doesn't have the same impact.
Sure. And 420
is a sex number. 6,969. There you go.
It has caused no end of problems in my life. Where anytime I add something above position 69, it gets pushed down. And then I have to make really hard decisions. So hard decisions about, like, well, shoot, I have to move down Craven's Last Hunt now. Not because I actually think it's worse than Sex Criminals, but because I can't have that be number 69. It's a challenge.
You could actually put it at number 80,085 because that spells out boobs.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Insulting to the work, but not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Okay, so Zach's pick was Fables. I've admitted I'm a fraud who has barely read any of the works that I rank. Charlotte, what was your most exciting?
So my experience of reading issues week to week as they come out or month to month is pretty recent because I didn't have a shop doing that when I was a kid. So I don't actually think I've had that so far with like actual individual issues. I kind of have that like with the new Ultimate Universe as a whole. Well, I'm like really excited for that to get going.
Yeah.
But I don't think to the level that you're describing. I think I did have that as a teenager, but kind of like Zach, with a trade, with like hardback collections of issues. I think the main one I had that with is Jonathan Hickman's New Avengers. That was the time when I was getting into comics, when I was 14 to 15, maybe 16 maybe, but like in that era.
Yeah, same.
I just couldn't, and like that was every month or month and a half that you'd get a new trade of New Avengers. And I couldn't wait. Like, day off, I'd be at my bookshop buying it, because I needed to... And, like, I at the time, I wasn't even aware of the American system of publication, so I didn't know, like, I could just find online the issue that weren't in France yet. That was a big thing. And then I had that a bit with manga. I think specifically... My Hero Academia was one of the biggest series I was reading a month. Kind of month to month.
I was going to ask, because it feels like manga, there's got to be more.
Yeah,
where
for
it's
sure.
Just, oh, every time one of those books comes out, you're excited about it. So My Hero Academia is up there.
When I was a teenager, it was mostly My Hero Academia that I was reading. Maybe every 2 months, that'd be a new volume, I think.
Because I'm kind of having that with Chainsaw Man right now.
Yeah.
Which is my first... Like, in the moment, I'm caught up, kind of manga, and it's what has been astonishing to me is it's like, oh, like, every time I blink, there's a new collection coming out. It feels like it's fast.
Are you reading, you're not reading it week to week on the...
Oh, no, no. No, I've never read a manga like that, but I just, every time a collection is out.
I read Chainsaw Man week to week as it was coming out, like, up to the break, where he took, like a year off.
Was that a good experience?
Yeah. It was tons of fun. And then I did the same thing with Kaguya-sama. I jumped in well into that one. Kaguya-sama was like Love is War, that manga.
And you're caught up?
Oh, it's done. It's finished. Yeah.
Oh, because the trades are still coming out, but it's wrapping then.
Yeah, I finished like I don't know, at least like a year and a half ago, something like that.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago.
Okay, so I'm almost done. Zach, a little My Mangalus year throwback.
Yeah.
We talked about Kaguya-sama a lot, Love is War. It's definitely one of the mangas you sold me the most on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it became one of my favorites.
Final volume coming out in English, like, in 2 weeks, by the way.
Oh, that's the last one. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, one. Zach, did you like how it ended? Did you like the final third?
Yeah, it definitely shifts away from comedy, but I kind of feel like it earns it at that point. And then it dips its toes back into, like, every once in a while, it will have the very silly... chapter.
It definitely lost me when it stopped being the comedy was so delightful.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the funniest. I think just straight up the funniest comic I've been reading over the last several years. But you weren't bothered by that.
No, I think it knew how to pace it out. Like, it kind of had its ebbs and flows of, like, you know, the more dramatic, the more comedic. And I think, like, for me, it had felt like it had built up to that point. Pretty naturally, where, like, honestly, I think it couldn't have gone if it had just stayed a comedy comic. I think, like, it needed to evolve into, you know, becoming more than that.
Sure.
But yeah, I think it's successful. Like, I get really, you know, I think by the time it starts pivoting into, like, actual relationship drama, like, the comedy has invested me in it to where I'm on board.
Yeah.
And then it still has that light touch, you know, on occasion. I think it wraps up well too. I was reading that like week to week. So, great manga.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, my picks. So, Charlotte, I'm with you on Hickman's Avengers through Secret Wars. Secret Wars in particular was definitely my, like, week to week. I was reading literally everything. Probably the most, like, wholly consumed I'll be by comics ever. That was a blast. House of Powers, I already mentioned. And then probably my current fixation will be Ice Cream Man. Every time there's a new issue of Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
It's an experience. I love it so much. It is built for the month-to-month anticipation reading experience, which, like, 98% of direct market comics are not, you know? I definitely, you know, this year I'm having a much better time reading and sort of keeping up with comics by focusing on just what are the new collections and what are the new graphic novels, as opposed to trying to keep up with, like, what are the new number one issues or what are the new books coming out. It's just not how stories are meant to be consumed. You know, like, it just doesn't make sense for a majority. But Ice Cream Man is actually built so it does. And I appreciate that about it.
And you, at this point, you've been such a consistent cheerleader for Ice Cream Man. They do have a thank you, Dave, written at the beginning of each issue.
It's a nice note
just for you.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be on the cover of every issue.
On the cover, it's just a little picture of your face on the bottom in a little heart.
Yeah. No, it's the least they could do, but I appreciate it. It's funny, like Comic Herald was never into like the cover blurb game, but I have on occasion had things, you know, pulled onto covers. Probably more than I realized, because a lot of times publishers will do it and they don't tell you.
yeah.
About it.
I remember seeing that Storm one, right?
The Storm, that was my first one where I realized it happened. It was like Storm Volume 2, and you know, it's a Greg Pak Storm comic, and you had Comic Herald right there on the cover. I think that's like the only Marvel one I know of where that even happened. But that's a thrill to see your brand on a Marvel comic. That was cool. But otherwise, comics that I love way more than I should just because my name's on them. Ted McKeever's The Superannuated Man. got my quote on there. And that's then the current The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos. Not even my writing. It's Riddish and Sean did a thing. But that's in there for the promos and the covers for The Oddly Pedestrian, which is a really cool comic. James Tynion and Dave Bromble.
Yeah.
Work. I like that book a lot, actually. But yeah, so no, I'm like, you know, I'm comics famous. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to say, you never had, did you ever have Grant Morrison say they listened to your podcast? Because, you know, I've had that. That's pretty cool, too.
Well, when you host the podcast, you kind of can just lay claim to them.
Oh, when you host it, like, on your website, you mean?
Yeah. So it's, I'm off.
I hired the guy that Grant Morrison listened to.
I do think it's funny to consider, like, Grant Morrison loves listening to Extra Issues. And then, like, every time I guest, Morrison's, like, furious. Morrison's like,
that guy.
Like, those are the episodes. He's like, ugh, this guy.
To be clear, I think they listened to two episodes or something. But, still pretty.
Oh, that's still the coolest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
Come on, gotta take credit for that. All right, that is that was actually my big thing this week was there's like a decent chance LeBron James has watched Kraken Krakoa on YouTube.
Sure. Yeah.
Like there's a non-zero chance.
Yeah. Sure.
Which is insane cool. to me.
Yeah.
Dave, there's no way to validate that.
Are you a hockey guy?
Not just because the Blackhawks were good for a lot of the 2010s.
Hockey?
the Chicago Blackhawks. That's our franchise here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I thought you were asking what sports are. I was like,
hockey. You only realize maybe how some things sound when you say them out loud in front of someone who has no
to a foreigner. Yeah.
Cultural context for that. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's what it sounds. Barely. Why? Why do you ask?
Just. A little wrestling segment. Do you know Edge? Smooth
trick. That was a nice trick.
It's related. Okay. Do you know Adam Copeland, Edge and Christian? They used to be. Yeah,
I know
that. They're in AEW now, and they were having a match in Toronto last week. And Edge tossed Christian into the audience, and they were like brawling in the audience. Christian is all out of it, and Edge pulls some guy in the audience has a Boston Bruins jersey on.
Uh-huh.
And Edge yanks it off the guy's back and like forces it on Christian Cage, and then he steals somebody else's Toronto leaves. Is it Maple Leaves? Toronto Maple Leaves?
Yeah,
Toronto Maple Leaves jersey. He puts it on himself, and then he beats up Christian Cage wearing a Bruin like in Toronto. It was the big. I was like, if you're a big hockey fan in Toronto right now, this is the coolest thing ever.
That's an awesome move. Putting someone else's jersey on to beat them up.
And put them in the jersey of your rival to beat them up.
That's a pretty cool move. Yeah. Credit where it's due.
If you're into hockey, yeah, it's a good way.
Yeah.
Good way to sell you in wrestling.
I appreciate that. How are y'all's March Madness brackets doing this year?
Oh, so good. So good. I honestly did not know. The only reason I knew the playoffs were happening is because there's no wrestling on TNT this weekend. They, they canceled.
It's all basketball.
Yeah, because they're like, we're not even going to try to have an episode this weekend because it's the playoffs.
Such a wrestling head, Charlotte. Yeah. What is the closest thing to March Madness in France?
I have no idea.
Tour de France, probably.
I've literally never watched sports. I don't know the the lingo.
Women's soccer's back on. We went to the opening game last night.
Soccer is probably the biggest thing in France, as far as sports goes.
Sure.
But I know nothing about it. Although I do have a few matches close to where I live, and it's annoying because the transit system is a bitch when that happens.
Yeah, it gotta be madness.
But that's as far as my awareness goes of sports.
Well, I knew neither of you would have any March Madness takes, but I just need to share publicly through 3 days of basketball games up until the very end of the third day, I had 99.5% of my picks correct.
Whoa.
In the March Madness. That is insane. That is winning the lottery. Good. I have never and will never again get that lucky with March Madness picks. I do not watch men's college basketball. I don't actually have knowledge of it. The only college basketball I've watched this year is the Iowa women's team because Caitlin Clark is fascinating and phenomenal. And also my in-laws live close to the Iowa border. But so just like I cannot pretend it's not pure luck. Like I have some sort of advanced sports knowledge. 99.5%. Just the luck of that. If I ever, ever in my life am going to start gambling huge sums of money, it's right now as my luck fades. Because I've been led to believe I can do anything. But I have to share that. Never again. Well, I was one upset away from 100% and being like, you know, one of the 50,000 brackets in the country that was 100% or whatever, you know.
Has it fallen apart already? Did you?
Oh, it immediately started to last night. Yeah. The downhill turn. So now I'm at 89.7. Huge drop. I'm actually, for me, this is very good. Like this is phenomenal. I'm in position. I could win some money, et cetera, et cetera. My eldest son, no one here is to speak to him of this because he's super competitive about this stuff. He's at 5%. He's at 5% correct.
I'm gonna DM him to cyberbully him.
Please do not. Yeah,
me and your son DM.
Yeah, that would be the most concerning.
That'd be upsetting to find out, right? Like if I had a just was chatting with your son.
Absolutely. You do as a parent you start to realize like he's not old enough to like have accounts or whatever, but occasionally or I don't think he is, but like, you know, we'll run into parents who are like, "Oh, does he have Facebook Messenger?" And I'm like, "Effing what?" You know, he's 7, yeah. But it's like, "Oh, I guess you do." I feel like the closest he's come to like online chat is like playing Among Us with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to, you know, you got to watch out for that. Yeah. Some of the language in there get a little dicey. Any of those types of games, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, the game will be like Jurassic World, hunt and catch dinosaurs. Here's our online chatting system. It's like, why? Oh, why?
Yeah, this big mistake.
I don't
big
want this mistake. In here. You know?
So. Like you gotta teach your son slurs. Like, how's he gonna learn slurs without online chat?
Don't worry. Did I not tell you he's coming home doing Biggie Verses? And we gotta talk about what's okay to say and what's not.
No.
Listen, one of the advantages of going to a fairly diverse elementary school is your white little boy can come home perfectly executing some Biggie bars.
And it's going to be 2043, and your poor son is going to get fired from his job.
It's going to get canceled.
this is going to be played during HR meeting and be like, can you explain why you were saying this?
Well, and it's hard as a parent, too, because I'm like, listen, your flow is immaculate. But we can't say some of those words.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a good time. My other, okay, as long as we're doing Parent Corner here, my other thing is, I shared this in Slack yesterday. I don't think I talk about Dr. Doom that much.
I told Rose about this, yeah.
Yeah.
You must, of course. Like, it has
clearly
to be. It didn't happen.
Where did this come from?
Yeah.
Otherwise, where did this come from? But I wouldn't have said, like, oh, we talk about it all the time. Last night, my son's already taken a shower, and he's in his jammies. He's looking cute as a boot, and he decides he wants pasta with red sauce for dinner. We don't decide these things anymore. We're well beyond having any control. So anyway, he's having pasta with red sauce. I'm like, this is crazy. And I was like, yeah, you know, but she's great and super easygoing about stuff. And so anyway, he's about to have that. So I'm like, all right, you got to put a bib on. And he's like, no. And I'm like, come on, you got to put a bib so you don't get red sauce all over your jammies. And he's like, out of nowhere, seemingly. But Dr. Doom not wear bib. And I was checkmated so hard and so out of the blue that I was just like, he's right. He's right. I'm just sitting there with a bib. He walks away. My jaw's on the floor. Never before has he used Dr. Doom against me, but he pulled it out and checkmated me. It was incredible.
Checkmate, atheist.
But it's also like such a wild thing for him to say with no, you know, context, or not seemingly just repeating what you're, you know, repeating something that you say a lot. That it feels like, you know, in The Exorcist when she like turns to her mother and starts like speaking, you know, as like a dead,
yeah,
her dead mother from hell.
Yeah.
I just totally. I feel like my heart rate would start increasing, like, oh my God.
It was like, I am
Victor?
Impressed. I am astonished. I didn't know what to make of it, and he didn't have to wear a bib.
You're gonna start to find iron masks all over your house.
You immediately renamed him Victor.
All the blocks, the letter blocks, do spell Richards right now, which I'm mildly concerned about. That's good. So that was my big night. All right, I've really hogged the topics here. Does anyone else have anything important things on this variant cover?
Mm. I think you're haunted by the spirit of Dr. Doom. And
Charlotte and I are going to be... I did actually just remember something I want to share. Charlotte and I are going to be on Extra Issues doing Sandman soon for 6 months. We're going to be covering all of Sandman, a bunch of the spinoffs, and then the Mike Carey Lucifer run. So if you want to listen to that ahead of time, that'll be going up on Patreon first, and then 6 months later, those episodes will be going on the public feed.
When approximately are we looking at Lucifer?
Lucifer is probably, it's at the end, because we're going to do 4 months of all the Sandman first. So like
fall 2024.
Yeah, I think August, something like that. September.
All right. So I got summer to catch up.
The thing that just made me laugh is I remembered we had someone new come into the Slack this week. And shout out Hayden. Thanks for backing us on Slack. Nice to see you there. And they wrote that they've been listening to the show. They just jumped in. They're all caught up. And they said, I've been buying some trades. Someone asked them if they've been buying comics or whatever. They said, I've been buying some trades physically that Dave and friends cover.
Ooh, I've never felt
like
sick.
Like, I'm used, you know what? People call me the guest host. People are like, oh, yeah, Zach, how is it guesting? You know, at water off my back. But so, and this is for you, Charlotte, too. Like,
yeah, and fully genuinely, like, no ill intent.
No, I'm sure not. They were not. Some people come in and immediately are like, oh, I'm going to join in on roasting Zach.
Being and friends.
No, Dave and friends.
I love it.
I've been cracking up about that all week.
Might have started using that.
And it's just how Dave wants us to be to be viewed. He did this.
No, I'm glad. I mean, listen, the second I was worried, you know, mm-hmm. we always said mm-hmm. no side projects. Yep. And I knew if you started the smile to my Radiohead, mm-hmm. that probably Grant Morrison would say the smile is my favorite podcast. Like, I knew that was inevitability.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of you, and I'm very happy for you that it happened. But I'm also incredibly jealous. And it's the beginning of the end.
But this makes you feel good, the main show. Right? Yeah.
Dave and his not as it's funny. It doesn't actually give me some sense of power.
Also shout out on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review there. I appreciate it. Got a good
I do think we're pretty desperate Mio for Fitz. Reviews right now.
No, we've been getting I don't know. We got one in March. We got two in February. Three in February.
It's almost April, Zach. It's almost April.
I don't know. We got one 2 days ago from Mio Fitz. Thank you. They jumped in and they've been watching it. They ended great chemistry. A wide range of takes. Good dumb jokes. Thank you for acknowledging that.
That feels right.
That's all three of us. Tag yourself. I'm good dumb jokes.
I'm a range of takes, obviously. Yeah.
We do get a range of takes on here. That's true. We're not. You know what? That's actually probably my favorite thing about what we do. What's next week? Oh, Annihilation.
Yeah. we don't need to, navel gaze too much. But anytime where, people, I get, like, if you don't line up with, you know, someone's opinions or even, like, respect them necessarily. But the feeling I get where some people don't want, like, anything that like bucks
to be challenged the...
yeah sure I'm kind of like there's a lot of options out there for you. Right, like there's a lot of comic book podcasts and media out there that will like not give you anything that is, you know, particularly against the grain, you know, and also, like, it's kind of, is it more interesting if we argue a little bit? I mean, honestly, it makes me have to argue better. I don't think I always do a great job of it, but, like...
That was exactly my thought on Annihilation, Zach, was at one point, like, we disagreed, mm-hmm. and you were like, well, tell me what you like. And then it's like, okay, I have to articulate why I like mm-hmm. this. I can't probably where I would have started the show is, like, I'm just falling back on sort of the fact that this thing's been canonized, the fact that there's a fandom consensus that it's great. You know what I mean? And it's much harder to have to say it.
No, I totally, I get that, because we covered Watchmen as our first episode of Extra Issues. And that was, like, the biggest challenge with that is, like, how do we say something new about this? Right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you actually say something besides, like, yeah, it's self-evident. Just look at it. Right? Like... It's a So I mean, you know, it's always a challenge. We don't always rise to it perfectly, but try.
No, try. No, that's definitely been my biggest challenge of the last probably 2 years. Is fighting, like, just honest opinion versus, I think, a percentage of audiences' desire to just have their fandom sort of cheer led back to them, mm-hmm. and I think because CBH started as sort of this, like, you know, super positive just experience of, like, getting deep into comics, I think I probably built a reputation as somebody who, like, you know, is, like, uncritical, like, just kind of, like, celebration of everything Marvel, you know, was just like, let's just get into this. And that's where I was in a lot of ways. But as I progress and read more comics and experience different things and just, you know, something like just kind of the moment we're in too, just with, like, where Marvel Comics are at, like, that's not actually the mood necessarily all the time. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of, it's like, can be upsetting, I guess, like, because I think majority of the audience is, like, great. They're like, they actually appreciate nuance or disagree, but, you know, they'll think through that in their own way and it's appreciated. But the feedback of, like, I think where it really bugs me is when somebody just wants to be cheerled. And they just want to have all of their fandom validated. And then they interpret that as, like, me being, like I'm, like, the most negative person in the world. It's, like, weirdly deflating, you know?
Well, I mean, does Zach like comics? I see that, you know, once every month or two from someone being, like, you know, something along those lines.
Well, I think with you, it's, like, I don't know. It's a weird thing where it's, like, you've kind of trapped yourself in this Marvel Comics scene.
For sure. I mean, that's
right.
Like,
that is, like, because you kind of have to have, and we've argued about this, but it's like, you kind of have to have a level of, like, fandom buy-in.
Yep.
Just to,
it's the project, right? Like, it's the project, nature of this project, which is why, like, Extra Issues, you know, is like a nice outlet for, like, we choose everything we read there. And I will never, the biggest challenge for me, we've talked about this before, is with Marvel Comics that are, like, a 6 out of 10, right? Five or a 6 out of 10. Like, if it's bad, if it's truly atrocious, it's much easier for me to, you know, have a little fun tearing it down. But, you know, Marvel is just like anything else. It's largely, like, average, right? And, like, those are the things that are hard to constantly try to bring something new to the table. Whereas Extra Issues, like, even if there's something we don't like, it's generally something we chose that will have potential, and then we can talk about the missed potential. You know, I don't choose what we're reading for my Marvels here, right? Like, it just, you know, I mean, it is a little bit like being a working critic who just is like, you have to go see these movies, all these movies, and you have to write about them. It's a challenge, you know. I'm not complaining about that. You know, it's a,
because that's always annoying challenge, you know. For the last decade, the critic who was like, another superhero movie,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, that was always really annoying. It's like, you have to do this because of your job, but now that's impacting your review, as opposed to the sensible thing, which is like, well, you don't have to watch this. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. That's not actually.
But also, you know, like, I think there's value in, like, critics are not, or like, you know, like, perfect representatives of the objective truth of art, right? Like, you find critics and you're like, you know, I heard someone say, the stuff they really pay attention to is when Zach loves something and when Zach or when Dave hates something. Right? Like, if Zach loves something, it's worth jumping at. And
that, because those are the rarer instances.
Right. And if Zach is like mid on something, it doesn't quite, you know, and it depends on what it is, right? Like, yeah, you learn. Yeah. I mean, I have that with a ton of critics. There's some critics I really love unless they're talking about action movies. And then I'm like, well, you know, they just don't like them.
Sure.
I just don't value their opinion. And if they do love one, then that makes me sit up and go, oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah.
You know, that's, you know, the value of criticism. Anyway.
No, I just, it's just kind of a weird, it's a weird time where it's like, I've never been higher on comics, actually.
But lower on superhero
comics. Lower on soups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's hard for folks who are at a different phase of their superhero infatuation. It's not like I didn't go through it. I'm not like above that. I'm not like, cause you see certain critics who are just like F corporate comics, F superheroes. They all suck, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not been my life experience. Like that's
not, well, obviously
clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. Like I can't get there, but I do think Marvel comics are in a fairly boring place right now. Like I don't think this is not going to be a well-regarded era. Contemporarily. But you know, then we do the Annihilation pod and I'm like, Annihilation's flipping great. And we talk about that. Yeah. So anyway, that's all just like personal stuff. But yeah, I think what's upsetting about it actually to me the most is like if I do the work, which I do, of like these are the great comics, these are the ones we're celebrating, that gets very little attention.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But if I tweet, I'm mad about X-Men. Now my negative thrill is what everyone's like. Oh yeah, this guy's the negative guy about X-Men. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's just so imbalanced. I don't know. It's human nature, I guess.
I promise to our listeners, I never do that because I genuinely don't want to hear anyone's feedback about my thoughts ever. Like, I've gotten that, you know, like, oh, he's just, you know, like riling people up because it's, you know, he wants people to yell at him. No. I don't want it to hear from
you. I think you are the most authentic person. Or like one of the most authentic people I've ever, one of the most authentic like commentators on comics that I've ever come across.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
because
that.
You just say your experience and I think you're generally, not that you're not impacted, but because you cut yourself off from certain, that's why I never pushed us to actually do the YouTube live stuff. Cause although I think the show would have found an audience, I think the type of feedback we would have got there would have been like really hard,
sure.
For you in particular.
Oh yeah, I don't mind. Just to make it clear, I don't want to sound like a jerk. I don't mind here. Like when people talk to me about like how they feel about the comics, I'm like all on board with that. I just don't want to hear my critiques criticized. Like I'm not interested in that. That's not, it's non-actionable feedback, right? I think Charlotte, you're pretty, you know, like above the fray too. I don't get the,
yeah. I mean, I think it helps that
you come at it from a fandom point of view.
Yeah, it helps that podcast is pretty dissociated from immediate response, right?
Sure. Yeah.
In a way that's different from like an article or like a tweet, right?
Mm-hmm. We don't have
like
a comment
said, a YouTube
section.
Live stream. I'm also at a point where I'm like less and less online, so like if I'm not checking the Slack, I have no comeback of what happens on the podcast. So it's like its own isolated thing where I get to talk about two friends about comics. I get to talk with two friends about comics, and that's great, and it doesn't have to be linked to people listening to that and responding to it, even if they do.
I love that we have, you know, like I love that we have listeners. I like to hear that people are, you know, what their thoughts are on comics.
You're not, I mean, you know, every time we, like in the aftermath of Annihilation, you're going to be like, yeah, six slackers said they agree with me and three said Dave, so I'm winning.
Yeah,
like it's not you're not tallying that.
Oh, no, it's true. And I did throw it out there, by the way, about Annihilation, and I think people are leaning more positive, so I don't think this is going to be, but I got a couple people who are like, I get it, it seems.
And you love that, right? That validation of like, okay, I got a few people in my camp. I'm not on an island here, right? Like,
sure,
it is. I think,
I mean, it's definitely,
I've never met the human who's, I'm very influenced by it. And I try to be less and less influenced by it. You know what I mean? And I think I am, you know, as I get older and more refined in my taste. But, like, definitely I'm influenced by, like, oh, this is the perceived cool opinion, or, you know, certain people that I respect feel this way, and then I'm kind of like, oh, should I lean more that way? You know what I mean? Like, I it's lame, but I'm absolutely influenced by that. I won't pretend not to be.
If anything, I have the I have the opposite impulse of liking the cool popular thing is less cool. You know, like that's something I definitely had with comics, because sure. I never really engaged with that. But, you know, like I certainly had that in my 20s with movies where, you know,
it's a reaction to a reaction,
or being into the big, dumb mainstream stuff is less cool than my favorite movies. You know, like a Fellini film, which it is, you know, but I shouldn't feel cooler than anyone else for that.
Well, it's also music wise, right? Like Poptimism is in. Yeah. It has been.
I've been grateful for that. You know, I've actually been kind of grateful for that shift in trying to embrace and appreciate some, broader, more genre based stuff in films and comics. You know?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we gotta wrap it up. We got an extra issues to do after this.
It is nice being able to do therapy every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a little a little inside baseball naval game.
I mean, I joked about it being Annihilation Aftercare, but it turns out cool that actually was that.
Yeah, yeah. No. We're gonna need you to moderate after the episode comes out, Charlotte, I think. Okay. Oh, yeah. So next episode that comes out is probably going to be Annihilation. Let's see. Otherwise, we're approaching Civil War in 2006. Mm-hmm. In theory,
Dave,
we've got... Yeah.
Sorry. Next, the episode after that has Marvel Zombies, which I'm going to hype up a ton.
Yep.
But you don't have Marvel Zombies 2 in 2007. Can I request? It's not even in the bonus round reading. Can I request that? Because, I think Marvel Zombies 2 is, maybe let me reread it first, but... In my memory, the second one is even more, expansive than the first one and does, takes even bigger, weirder, cooler swings.
I think if you want to back us at patreon.com/Marvel.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll give $15 to us, or $10, I think, now at this point. Split three ways. So I'll send you and Charlotte each $3 after, you know, Patreon's cut.
Yep.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
Well, it's not Dean's List season, but... Charlotte. I don't remember. What was your title going to be? Do you remember?
Yeah, you had a good one, Charlotte.
Days of Fieri's Past.
Fieri's Past. Are we doing a Days of Fieri's Past in 2007?
We could do that in 2007, yeah.
Maybe we throw Marvel Zombies on that list? I don't know how crowded it's going
to
be.
No, don't make her add my comic onto her list. It's already tough to winnow it down.
Would be pretty rude of you.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that would be rude of me.
I don't know where to put it is my only hang-up, Zach.
Mm-mm,
2007 is packed.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe one of those, maybe we take all the
You already put Omega Flight on here, Zach. If you want to take out Omega Flight, that would
be the
perfect
I haven't actually
spot.
Read Omega Flight. I that was just a goof.
Should we call an audible right now and say we're reading the first issue of Omega Flight and not 5?
Oh, yeah, sure. Here, I'll change it on the spreadsheet.
We're not reading 5 issues of Omega Flight.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't even know what that
is. You want to keep going, keep going. But
that was just a little goof for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, the goof doesn't need to be 5 issues long.
Yeah. Especially if it's not very good. I mean, maybe it's really
good. Maybe it'll be fun. Maybe we'll keep going. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll reread somewhere. It before we jump, because it's been a while. But, I think it's really cool. I think Marvel Zombies is some of the most exciting, zombie media of the last 20 years, which is, you know, there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
Not much of it's that interesting.
I'm not as high on it as you are, but I'm not opposed to including it.
Yeah, I really like where it goes. But let me reread the second one at least to double check. I'll read it anyway just for fun.
Okay.
Anything
else? Charlotte, any tampering you want to do with the lists?
Tampering will be upcoming.
What about tamping, your espresso coffee grounds?
Not tamping.
You don't drink coffee.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got
that.
That's
what you do.
I got it.
In the espresso thing, you go dup, and tamp it down.
Good dumb jokes. Please review on iTunes, please, everybody.
this, yeah.
Thanks for listening. Music for the show is by Disaster Piece. I'm Dave. You can find my stuff at Comic Book Herald. This is My Marvelous Year. patreon.com/MyMarvelousYear for support. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next year.
See you next year.
Looking at the Insane Clown Posse lyrics to the song Miracles. Water, fire, air, and dirt. F***ing magnets, how do they work? I don't want to talk to a scientist. Y'all motherf***ing lying and getting me pissed. Solar eclipse and vicious weather. 15,000 juggalos together. That line at the end, 15,000 juggalos together.